So when I have guests coming, my first go-to is to hit up those local spots. I order my pies through Sweet Brew. I go over now with Peachy Keen Bake Shop that opened. Her stuff is fantastic. I'm addicted to the brownies. So I go and I pick up my baked goods and I put them on nice plates and the family never knows. So yeah, exactly. They think I'm awesome, but yeah, it's not. It's not me.
It is awesome. Yeah.
I can cook. I can't bake. There's too much science. I'm one of those like kind of go by feel of things, and with baking, measurements matter.
Precision.
So what's the standard reply when they ask for the recipe? This is just for my own personal reference. So when they ask for the recipe, you say
it's a top secret family recipe. Maybe I'll pass it down to you.
That's right. That's the way you do it, baby, right there. So check out a lot of local businesses. Not only, you know, we promote the area, Park Falls, Phillips. Give your local people a chance before, because, you know, especially if you're sending a gift to someone, a relative far away, it's so cool, I think, to send something personal, maybe from your hometown. It's a meaningful gift to them.
Yeah. And the other nice thing is, too, is if you know where your loved ones shop locally, it makes it really easy to gift give them, because I know if... like, I could tell my husband what he knows where I like to shop, but like Jennifer over at O'Dear and Tara at Patchouli, they know what I buy there. So they can lead him to the correct things, which is nice. You're not going to get that at like a Walmart. They're not going to know what someone's bought there. But here in town, it matters. And those little personal touches.
It's the eye to eye version of AI right there.
Yes.
There it is.
I'm just thinking of what happens if he were to accuse you all of being in league with each other. No, absolutely not. But yet everybody knows what everybody wants to get for Christmas. There's something to that. There's something there. I've sensed the conspiracy. But it's everybody's benefit. It's the Northwoods gift-giving conspiracy circle.
So if you see somebody standing in a store like Patchouli Garden or Old Abe, and they're saying out loud, boy, I would really like, I love these jeans. I just absolutely love these. You know what they're up to.
Yeah.
They're just dropping the hint into the universe there, right?
Nice weather we're having.
Exactly. All right, so stay tuned for more information on that retail promotion. All right. Anything else we mentioned, Courtney?
No, that is it for today. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you, Courtney, our director of the Park Falls Chamber. Go to parkfalls.com for more info. We will get to cars. We will talk cars, but we got to get to the news, first of all.
Leaning into local radio, 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Trump becomes President Trump 2 months from today. He's vowed to implement tariffs on imported goods, and ABC's Elizabeth Schulze says that has some consumers worried about higher costs.
The National Retail Federation says clothes, toys, furniture, household appliances, footwear, and travel goods are at risk. The retail group estimates the price of a $40 toaster oven could go up to $52 with Trump's tariffs.
Trump's transition team disputes the idea, saying the goal is to incentivize more companies to buy products in the U.S. The House Ethics Committee meeting today and could decide whether to release its report on Attorney General nominee Matt Gaetz over allegations of sexual misconduct that Gaetz has denied. There's a major shift in the world of media and business. Comcast announced that it will spin off NBC Universal's cable channels, including CNBC and USA Network, into a separate company. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. Brought to you by Marthaler Chevrolet of Minocqua, your trusted hometown dealer for new Chevrolet vehicles and service. November 22nd, beginning at 9 a.m. and continuing through to November 23rd at 4 p.m., the Waters of Minocqua are hosting a holiday market. They invite you to join them for a festive shopping experience featuring unique gifts, arts and crafts, and more. Their holiday market is the perfect place to get in the festive spirit and support local artists and vendors. Once again, this is November 22nd, beginning at 9 a.m., and continuing through to November 23rd at 4 p.m. at the Waters of Minocqua. It's Winter Weather Awareness Week in Wisconsin. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains why.
There were 45 cold-related deaths in the state last year. And the Wisconsin Department of Health Services says there were 861 emergency department visits and 225 hospitalizations from cold-related illnesses. Matt Friedline at the National Weather Service says the temperatures are about to take a dip.
Yeah, winter is a season that everyone needs to prepare for, even if you're hardy and they have experienced many cold winters. As always, weather's not convenient.
Reminding us that we may be forced to drive out in a snowstorm and we could get stranded out on the road. And without your car running, time starts ticking.
After snow events, it's cold. I mean, that's just a given how the weather systems work, dragging the cold air on the heels of the storms.
And this is exactly why you'll want an emergency kit with a shovel, sand, or cat litter. And go toss a heavy blanket, extra gloves, hat, and water in the trunk right now. Those are essentials in dire situations. And then you don't have to think or worry about it again until you need it. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
For more news, visit 98qcountry.com and civicmedia.us. I'm Austin Brume.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Chicago Bulls at Five Serve Forum. Both teams looking for a chance for back-to-back wins. On Monday, the Bucks beat the Rockets. The Bulls got past the struggling 76ers. College basketball. Number 15th ranked Marquette with an impressive win in Milwaukee last night over number 6th ranked Purdue. The Golden Eagles 76-58 over the Boilermakers. Cam Jones had 17 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, and only the third triple-double in Marquette history. The last player to do so, Dwayne Wade, back in 2003. Baseball, the Brewers' Pat Murphy named the National League Manager of the Year, who talked about the challenge of a club being from Milwaukee.
That's what this whole thing's about. You know, like when you're thinking of a small market team, you're thinking of guys that have all been thrown away, all guys that have been said, no, you're not good enough. That's pleasurable to see, you know, these guys then, you know, find a way to be successful. It's special.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
More of Reality Radio. We will talk cars in a little bit and other stuff, but we got Ron in here from Nemeth Implement to chat with us a little bit. Ron, good to see you. It's been a while.
Morning, Joe.
Yeah, snuggle up to that mic there a little bit there. All right. Are we staying busy?
Oh, definitely staying busy this time of year.
For those who don't know, it's been a few weeks since we've talked to Ron, Nemeth Implement down in Stetsonville. All your fun outdoor stuff, whether you're cutting a tree or trimming the brushes or whatever, you guys got all the equipment to get all that outdoor backwoods stuff done, right?
Yeah, we got just about everything. Got a bunch of used stuff come in. It's going out as fast as it's coming in, too.
So. Yeah, talk a little bit about that, about the used stuff, because that may fall into some people's price range, maybe to pick up something that's been previously owned. Talk about what you got there with that.
Yeah, we got some small four-wheel drive compact tractors. We got two-wheel drive industrial tractors, some back blades, box blades, brush cutters are all sold out, used already.
Okay.
But we still got new ones yet there, so. Okay. And those are all 10% off right now. So.
Brush cutters are a pretty hot item, huh?
So yep, definitely.
get those in.
Especially used, because new ones are pretty expensive, so.
Yeah. So are these ones that people have traded in to you guys, the previously owned ones, or where do they
some
typically
are,
come
some
from?
Some are traded in. Some we just buy because the landowner or homeowner just doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah. And you guys have the facility there, of course, to check it all over and give it the ups and downs and make sure it's running the way it should before you let it go out the door, right?
Yep. Definitely go through them and make sure that they're working right and proper. Yes.
Yeah. So when we get to wintertime here, what are people looking for in the wintertime? Are they moving snow? Are they still back in the woods? Or is it deer hunting related stuff? Or what are they doing here this time of year?
Well, I try to tell all my customers, if you're looking for a snowblower, buy it when it's 90.
Yeah. It's like buying a shovel at a big convenience store, right?
Exactly.
They're going to be out.
I'm not sure exactly right now, but I would say we only have two or three snowblowers left already.
Oh, really? People are anticipating, I think, after no snow last winter.
Yes. Every year, people wait for the big snowstorm to come get a snowblower, and that's kind of like going to Walmart and buying a winter jacket, and you don't buy it for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And with the snow, of course, a lot of people are thinking that the one they have, it'll make it another year. Then they go to fire it up that first snowfall, and then doesn't work. Trouble. So if it's one that they want to have repaired, you can do that, but you guys got the ones if they need a new one, right?
Yep, absolutely. All right. We can fix your snowblowers. We can fix your rotary cutters. It really doesn't much matter what you got.
Yeah, talk about some of the brands you carry there, because when it comes to this type of equipment, we do get people that are a little bit brand intensive. You know, they're committed, they're loyal to a brand. So tell us what you guys carry there.
Well, as far as attachments go, I don't think there is a better brand than Bush Hog. There's other brands, Land Pride and items like that, and we'll work on them all. Mm-hmm. When it comes to tractors, once again, we sell parts for them all. We don't necessarily work on them all because some of them have restricted repair rights. Okay. But if you got a old Ford 3000, Ford 8N, We can definitely work on those. From the new to the old, it doesn't matter. Yep.
Yeah. Now, when you say a tractor has restricted repair rates, is that due to a warranty and stuff like that, or what is that?
It's more due to the newer tractors have computers on them.
Oh, okay.
And they won't sell you the software or the programming to be able to do the computer diagnostics.
Oh, so you have to go through whatever channel that they force you to go through, basically. Yep.
Which is a big issue. It's called right to repair, and there's lawsuits all across the country about it. Yep.
Yeah. Remember the good old days when there was no computers in a tractor? Remember
yes, I do.
I mean, they're good and bad, right? There's great features, obviously, with those.
Yep.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the features, they wouldn't be putting the computers on them. But customers kind of demand that they want those features, then they got to sacrifice and have those computers and other electronic equipment on
the
tractors.
I was talking to you on air before about first vehicles we drove, and I was talking about a 36, 38 Ford 8-inch tractor. And I remember when you said that, the disc in the back, I remember the lever that you would reach down, and you'd had to have a little bit of something behind it because you were physically lifting that disc up, you know, and then clicking it to the right and locking it in. There was no pushing a button on those babies.
Right. Yep. The old ratcheting lever. Yep.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So if you got a piece of farm equipment, is winter a good time? You know, if somebody has a piece of equipment that hasn't been working for a couple of years, is winter a good time to have you guys bring in and look at it? Or
winter is actually it's not as good a time as it used to be.
Yeah.
Used to be we were pretty slow in the winters, but we don't really slow down much. We still offer winter repair programs, and depending on the season and what the equipment is, you can get up to half off on the labor.
Okay.
The split side to that, or the devil's advocate side to having a winter repair program, is you don't get to dictate when it gets repaired.
Okay.
So if a customer brings in a tractor that needs an overhaul and he needs it for next spring, that's fine. The reason you get the discount in the labor is because the shop will use it as a fill-in work.
Sure. So, it makes sense because you don't need it until maybe April or May. And you guys, when you get a little downtime, then there you go. There's your fill-in work, right?
But if you need a snowblower repaired, you don't put that on the winter program.
No, you need that now because you can't get out of the garage.
Yep.
Exactly. So Nemuth Implement is Niemuth, right on Highway 13 in Stetsonville. What is it Wednesday still going on?
What is it Wednesday is still going on?
All right.
I took a peek at it before I came in this time.
Okay. All right. All right.
Can't quite give it away, but 5% off up to $100. Yeah, that's significant when you're talking to everybody that uses it.
Yeah.
All you got to do is, you don't even have to follow us on Facebook. You don't even have to like the picture. Just got to know what it is when you call in your order, or if you walk in, or even email your order. Just tell us what it is or what you think it is, and you can get 5% off your order.
Yeah, and I just want to make sure people know up here, you know, Stetsonville, you're thinking, well, that's down there a little ways. Folks up in Glidden and Mellon may be thinking, yeah, I got a piece of equipment, but that's a long ways. You guys will come and look at it right on their site, right?
Yep, we come up here constantly. I was actually up here last night doing a service call. Customer no longer is able to do his own oil change, but it's not economical for him to haul his tractor down to us or have it hauled,
sure,
which would cost hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
And here his whole oil change was, you know, $200. His hauling would have been $200 one way.
Yeah.
So, yes, we do remote service calls, remote oil changes. We can recover any piece of equipment up in this area. We have rollback trucks with winches that if tires don't turn, it's still coming on our truck.
Yeah. All right. That's Nemuth Implement. Check them out on Facebook. Well, we were talking a lot about first cars that we drove, and Gray and I are going to talk about this a little bit later on here this hour. So you were hesitant to share this story on air, but I'm encouraging you to do it, about your first driving experience, Ron.
So, well, my first driving experience was my father told me an old Alice B with a crank start, no electric start.
Okay.
He said, well, if you could start it, you can drive it.
Well,
I started it, and it was in gear the first time, and it went through the shed door.
Nice. Very nice. You got that baby cranked up, and off it goes.
Yep. Then, when I was young, I peeled popple. If anybody from the old days remembers peeling popple.
Okay.
I was pretty good at it. I made a lot of money.
Nice.
And when I was 12, I needed transportation for my job, working dairy farms. And
so you're 12, you're a sixth grader, sixth, seventh grader, 12 years old.
I was a big sixth grader.
Okay.
Yep. And I wanted a new motorcycle. So I went to our local dealer down there in Bedford, and my mom says, I can't do that. I can't pay cash for a new motorcycle. I need what's called credit.
Okay, build credit, yeah.
Yep. So she says, I have to go get a loan. And I took out an account and got my first loan and went and bought a brand new motorcycle when I was 12.
12 years old.
Yep, when I was 12 years old. Well, it was different times back then. We grew up in the country in the backwoods, technically, I moved out of the house when I was 16 years old.
Oh, really? Really? Yep.
My mom wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. She'd bring me a cake once a week, and I still went to high school every day.
Oh, really?
Worked two jobs at age 16.
Wow. Yep. So what about an actual car? What's your first memory of a car, driving a car?
My first memory of my first car was an old Ford Explorer 100, F-100. With the old straight six in it.
Sure.
I bought an engine from my brother, a 360 Cleveland, and we decided we wanted to put that into the truck. But the straight six still ran.
Okay.
So we have to make it not run.
Mm-hmm.
We drained the oil. We drained the antifreeze. We drove that 10 miles to town.
Jeez. Oh,
and it smoked like nobody's business. The truck wouldn't come out of third gear no more.
Intentionally trying to kill it.
We intentionally tried to kill it, and it never worked. That motor just kept going.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yep, one of the toughest old trucks, and bed was rusted out. We built a flat rack for it, and since it wouldn't come out of third gear, all I had was a clutch and third gear, in the schoolyard, the so-called friends, every day they would push it ahead into the driving lane out of the parking spot.
Sure.
It would block half the parking lot, and I'd get called by the principal.
Oh, the parking lot antics of school. I remember one time three or four football players picked up my friend's VW Bug and turned it sideways, and it just lodged it between like two buildings.
Yep.
And so he couldn't there's no way you could get that thing out unless they came back. But a lot of people up here, a lot of kids, learn how to drive on your type of equipment, on implements stuff.
Yep.
You know, supervised a lot of times by parents, but that's their first feeling of hitting something and feeling that power. And a lot of times it starts on your type of equipment, doesn't it?
It does. Tractors is a very good way to teach responsibility and how to respect a piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Like, I should have probably had better supervision when I started at LSB years ago when nobody was around. But if you take the time and teach them the responsibility and respect for the equipment, that's the best way.
Yeah.
My grandkids, I do not shy away from teaching them to drive, and allowing them to drive.
Sure.
And the responsibility in the correct situations.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't wait until they're 16 because they don't listen anymore.
Yeah. That's right. So. That's right. All right. So if you want to... contact Nemeth Implement. They're located right on Highway 13 in Stetsonville. Facebook, a good place. What's the website again there?
Website is nemethimp.com.
All right.
Or Nemeth Implement on Google. You'll find us real easy.
N-I-E-M-U-T-H.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Phone number is 715-678-2271. And I just wanted to wish all the deer hunters out there good luck and make some memories this year.
All right. And remember, no better Christmas present than to give the gift of fixing that old backhoe that's in here that's just been sitting there.
Yep.
Maybe what a great present that would be for a guy or gal, I guess, to have that thing going. A lot of people up here have those family heirloom pieces sitting back there, and I'm sure you guys have stories of helping people bring those to life. So
many times.
Yeah, yep. Very good. Ron, good to see you. Thanks for coming in. Check out Nemeth Implement on Facebook for What Is It Wednesday.
There you go.
See if you can figure it out. Thank you, Ron. Ron, joining us, Nemeth Implement here on Reality Radio. Let's get a little Packer info now.
From historic title town to our town, Park Falls, Wisconsin, Jack's Corner Bar, located on Cedar Street, serves up a Super Bowl of delicious daily specials, including enjoying deep-fried chicken daily. Fridays, enjoy a fish fry with salad bar. Saturdays, look forward to pork and dumplings. Saturday night, take it to the house with a tasty prime rib with a championship salad bar. Game day breakfast on Sundays at Jack's Corner Bar, located in our town, Park Falls, Wisconsin, where strangers become friends and good times roll.
This is the Title Town Report, presented by the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, executing its game plan to not only support soybean farmers, but all of Wisconsin. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
The Packers return to the practice field today, starting preparations for Sunday's late afternoon kick against San Francisco. Jordan Love kicked off the second half of the season with one of his better performances, 13 of 17, 261 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. He finished with a quarterback rating of just over 113.
I thought he was moving around like we've been accustomed to seeing him. He looked healthier than he'd been, made some big time throws. I think that last big pass to Christian Watson, I mean, there was pressure in his face. We always call those no flinch clips where you just got to stare down the barrel of a gun and know you're going to get blasted and, you know, be able to deliver that ball. And
that's Matt LaFleur. I'll have more after this.
Thanks to Soy Checkoff Investments, the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board is huddling up and going deep with innovative products that help to protect Wisconsinites' blindside. Products like PFAS-free soy foam help to keep the brave men and women who fight fire safe while also protecting the communities they serve. Soy-based tires are like cleats for the road, keeping drivers on the road while removing harmful petroleum from the tires. The Checkoff's vision puts Wisconsin farmers in position to play the long game and grow markets and build demand for soybeans right here on our home turf. From every corner of the field, the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board knows how to execute a game plan to fuel Wisconsin's economy, communities, environment, and farms. To learn more about the innovative products coming from Soybean Farmers Investments, visit wisoybean.org. That's wisoybean.org.
The Packers' offense appears to be getting closer to their desired level of play. What's holding them back from being a 30-plus point-a-game team?
Most of our struggles right now on offense are coming in the red area. Again, self-inflicted wounds, whether it's penalties or negative plays, and then on third down. That's the emphasis, and we're working hard at it.
Packers getting the Niners at a good time. Several of San Francisco's key players nursing injuries. Nick Bosa dealing with hip and oblique injuries. Quarterback Brock Purdy dealing with shoulder soreness. And tight end George Kittle, hamstring issues. I'm Bill Scott. More from Titletown tomorrow on the Wisconsin Radio Network.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters. Northwoods
weather. It is going to be cloudy today with scattered light snow showers by late this afternoon. Our high right around 37. Tonight, scattered snow showers overnight. Our low 26. Tomorrow, windy with scattered rain showers and temps in the upper 30s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 31.
More of Reality Radio. A lot of good local stuff here today. Thanks to all of our guests for coming in. And the Deer Hunters Roundup will get going on Saturday. Big G just announced to me that one of the title sponsors of the Deer Hunters Roundup is Shawamigan Home Furnishings, and someone's going to win a free recliner as one of the major prizes for the event. We've got all kinds of gift certificates. Craig just dropped off a whole bunch of gift certificates to Bader Sports Center. That'll be part of our prize packages. Wildwoods Taxidermy is a title sponsor, along with Shawamigan Home Furnishings and Northwoods Realty and Lena's Northern Pines Resort right on Butternut Lake. A lot of our title sponsors right there. Many other sponsors, including the Village Pit Stop, along with Baroka's Reese and Jen's Butternut Cafe, Ron Ernst Lumber, Seed and Feed in Fifield, Forward Bank, along with Medford Motors, Tom Miller Electric, Northwoods Supper Club. It's amazing that I'm able to read all these. They are not typed yet. Freeze Firewood, not because the handwriting is bad, just because old man eyes. Flambeau Forest Inn, Northern Lights Inn in the Lanes. We mentioned Bader Sports Center also is a title sponsor. Good to talk to Craig this morning. Chuck's Little Station down in Prentice. Bigfoot Barbecue Sauce. Got a whole bunch of bottles of that we'll be giving away during the roundup. Warga Auto and Truck Center. The Oxbow Resort crew, part of the Deer Hunters Roundup this year, along with I can't read that one. Me and Big G's writing don't get along. Okay, that's it. Oh, that was Shawamigan Home Furnishings. They're a title sponsor. So lots of good stuff. Our website is in the process of still kind of being revamped just a little, well, a lot of bit. Yeah, there are a few hunting photos on there of the people that will be hosting our Deer Hunters Roundup show coming up on Saturday night. We'll get that going at 6 o'clock. You can listen right here. You can listen at 98qcountry.com. You can even listen on your phone if you want. You can plug in your AirPods or whatever and listen to the Civic Media app to the 98Q Country Deer Hunters Roundup. Price County Senior Dining is a great service they provide, and tomorrow Price County Senior Dining is going to be serving up some goulash, cornbread, California blend veggies, and peaches at locations in Phillips and Park Falls, along with Ogama, Kennan, and Brantwood. If you have any questions about Price County Senior Dining and how it works, give them a call at 339-2158. That's 339-2158.
Good luck this season while you're after the turdy pointer. If you find yourself in pursuit of your own piece of land, or you're looking for a home in the area, or maybe you're ready to sell, reach to Northwoods Realty. We are the area's largest all-encompassing brokerage. Top-notch communication all the way while hunting for the perfect property, sealing the deal, then providing management services should you turn your purchase into a rental investment. At Northwoods Realty, we sell dreams. Visit northwoodswi.com.
November 17th through the 21st, that's Sunday through Thursday only at Bader Sports Center in Phillips. Buy $40 or more in game hide camo or blaze orange gear and get 10% off a box of ammo. One per person per day. TrailQuest and game hide clothing, 40% off in stock items only. Find sale price crossbows and a closeout special on select styles of lacrosse boots. All fishing gear, 25% off excluding ice fishing. 40% off mismatched or discontinued scent lock during the sale, and 20% off all scent lock through November. Only at Bader Sports Center next to Pick and Save in Phillips.
Well, if you're looking for a way to give back locally this holiday season, you better hurry, because the Santa's Elves Foundation, the tags are disappearing fast off of these trees. I was in Forward Bank the other day, and I saw the tags dwindling fast on the tree. I think there's only a couple left. So grab a tag off a tree at Dollar General and Butternut, Prentice, and Phillips, at Preville Bank and Phillips, Park Falls at Associated Bank, Forward Bank, North Lakes Community Clinic, and the True Value Store here in Park Falls, along with Fifield Country Cafe. It's very easy. In fact, my wife and I grabbed a tag off the Forward Bank tree, and we filled it up. It's a great way to give back to those in need through the Santa's Elves Foundation. And if you're saying, Joel, not a shopper, don't like to do that, well, you can just give if you want. Santa'sElvesFoundation.org, because they collect all the presents. There's tags that the families fill out, kind of giving you direction as to what gifts for the child they would prefer, whether it be Pokemon or whatever it might be, or dinosaurs or whatever. And then that gives you direction. And then when they get all the presents in, the folks at Santa's Elves will fill in maybe whatever gaps there may be in that gift. And that's where the money comes in. So if you want to just help out, it's a great way to do the same thing as grabbing a tag off the tree and going shopping and filling it. Santa'sElvesFoundation.org is a place to go get all the information. And a reminder for those of you who are taking tags off the trees and filling them, they do like to have them back by December 3rd, because it takes them a little bit to get everything organized and wrapped and put everything. And what's nice is you go out and you buy all the gifts for the kids, and then you don't have to wrap them. They don't want you to wrap them. They'll take care of that, and you just return it to whatever location you grab the tag. They've been doing this since, I think Deb said, since like late 90s, like 25-plus years, the Santa's Elves Foundation. Totally locally grown, everything with supporting local families. It's a great way to give back. Packer football on Sunday. You heard it just a little bit ago. Looks like the 49ers are a little bit banged up. Bosa's banged up. So the 49ers are coming in. The only thing that concerns me about this game is it is a desperation game for the 49ers with their one loss record. People are still thinking that when the 49ers get healthy, that they're a team that could contend with the Lions for the NFC Championship. But will they get healthy? So the 49ers are looking at this game. They sit at 5-5 right now. And they're only a game out of the division lead because it's not a very good division. So this is a game for San Francisco that if they figure if they can get this one, they got a couple coming up that they probably can win. So now you got a desperation team coming in. And with the Packers, not desperation mode at 7-3, they're looking pretty solid to get into the wild card. So this will be a good one. They always come down to, most NFL games come down to two or three plays. Did the ref throw the flag? Was his knee down? They go into slow, mega, mega slow motion. And then they yell at the ref for not seeing it in real time. and then they slow it down to just like a tenth of a second at a time. They'll show, oh, it's clear his knee was down. The ref should have saw that. So that's what it's going to come down to, two or three plays, right? Sunday, we'll have it for you right here. 1 o'clock will be the pregame, 3:25 the kick. Your home for Packer football, as always, is right here on 98Q Country.
At the Home Depot, the holidays have arrived.
And so is all my family. So I'm working on keeping up with the laundry.
The Home Depot is here to help with Black Friday savings up to 40% off select appliances. Spend less time doing laundry with smart, efficient appliances from Samsung, ranked number one in customer satisfaction.
Perfect. Less laundry time means more family time.
Get Black Friday savings now with free delivery and financing on select appliances at the Home Depot. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Offer valid November 6th through December 4th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Macy's Herald Square is the holiday destination, and this year we've added our first ever Macy's Holiday Square by Urban Space. Come and experience a one-of-a-kind wonderland of pop-up shops filled with unique gifts like handcrafted chocolates, homemade Stroop waffles, personalized ornaments, candles, and more. While you're there, shop Macy's exclusive collab with Disney for gifts you won't find anywhere else. It's Macy's Holiday Square by Urban Space, only at Macy's Herald Square on 34th and Broadway.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
It is going to be cloudy today with scattered light snow showers by late this afternoon. Our high right around 37. Tonight, scattered snow showers overnight. Our low 26. Tomorrow, windy with scattered rain showers and temps in the upper 30s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Reality Radio hanging around till 10. Hold on. We are going to talk cars. We keep pushing this off and pushing this off, but I've got a list of every car that I've ever owned or driven or significant in my life, and we're having fun. We talked to Ron about it. We talked to Craig a little bit about it. Gray ran away on us. He escaped, so we're looking to where he is. We're going to lasso him and get him back in here and chat a little bit, and more local info to come here in just a little bit on The Morning Show and Reality Radio.
98Q Country.
This morning I got up at 6:01. I walked out and saw the rising sun, and I drank it in like whiskey. I saw a tree I've seen a thousand times, a bird on a branch, and I watched it fly away in the wind. And it hit me, it's a beautiful world, sometimes I don't see so clear. Some days you're just breathing, just trying to break even. Sometimes your heart's pounding out of your chest, sometimes it's just beating. Some days you just forget what all you've been given. Some days you just get by, yeah, some days you're just alive. Some days you're living. Some days you're living. I went back in and fired the coffee up. She walked in the kitchen like she always does in my t-shirt, and it killed me. And I kissed her like it was the first time. She laughed and looked at me like I lost my mind. I said, baby, I love you, can't live without you. I know I don't say it enough, but some days you're just breathing, just trying to break even. Sometimes your heart's pounding out of your chest, sometimes it's just beating. Some days you just forget what all you've been given. Some days you just get by, Yeah, some days you're just alive, some days you're living like you never die. Blue's a little bluer up in the sky, your high's a little high. You feel that fire you've been missing, and some days you're living. Sometimes I don't see so clear. Some days you start singing and you don't need a reason. Sometimes the world's just right, your clear eyes ain't even blinking. Got a heart full of grateful for all you've been given. Yeah, some days you just get by. Yeah, some days you're just alive. Some days you're living. Some days you're living, yeah. Living like you'll never die. Blue's a little bluer up in the sky. Your high's a little high. You feel that fire you've been missing. Some days you're living. Some days you're living.
Crank it up. Let's kick it off.
Real country variety.
I love their variety.
98Q Country.
I can take the rain on the roof of this empty house. That don't bother me. I can take a few tears now and then and just let them out. I'm not afraid to cry every once in a while. Even though going on with you gone still upsets me. There are days every now and again I pretend I'm okay.
Rascal Flatts, 98Q Country, and Reality Radio. Oh, we've hyped this to the point where it's never going to meet its expectations. But Joel here and Big G is in here and Gray is in here. And I promised, I think as early as Monday, I promised that we were going to talk cars because I did a Facebook post about people's first cars. This past weekend, I think it was on Sunday, I took the time to actually send myself an email of every car that I've ever owned or driven significantly that I remember. And I think it's an impressive list. Big G may be able to come close to this because you're a car family. I mean, yep. You could list every car that was ever on the Wheelway lot probably and put list thousands on here.
Probably.
But you probably got a significant list, Big G, of cars that you've owned. But what is your first memory, first car ever, Big G?
The first vehicle, I learned to drive when I was 14. And I learned to drive in a Volkswagen Thing. Have you ever seen
a
those?
Thing.
Wow. Yeah, Volkswagen Thing.
Is it like
Google
a bug?
That, it's like a baby Hummer. Between a baby Hummer and a Jeep.
I can provide and a bit of context.
Pontiac Aztec.
The Volkswagen Thing, I believe, was the descendant of a vehicle designed during World War II by Volkswagen.
There it is.
Oh, good God, that's ugly.
Yes.
Bright yellow.
Yes.
Bright yellow.
Lord. There's a reason it's called a Thing. A Thing was a fantastic name for them.
I apologize for the reference, but it looks like something from a World War II Germany documentary.
Yep. That's exactly where you would find it. As you can imagine, Volkswagen was designing vehicles for Germany in World War II, and that is exactly what they did.
So that was the first vehicle that you ever...
That was the first vehicle I learned to drive on,
Oh, boy. Stick on the floor?
That had a manual in it, I believe.
Oh, manual.
I remember.
Fantastic. So did you run it? Did you get rid of it, or did you wreck it, or what'd you do with that?
No, it went on its merry way, and then my brother and I, of course, through high school and stuff, we shared a car. Our first car was a 69 Ford Fairlane.
Okay.
It was actually a friend of my grandma's had the car. It only had 40,000 miles on it.
Nice.
302 V8 in it, and it was really quite the car.
Then
after that, we went to I don't know if you remember Mikey Gelini at the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Okay.
You remember him?
I remember Mike,
He had a little Charger 2.2.
Okay.
So him and I crammed into that. We shared that for through high school. And then we got 80s. Then we had a Plymouth Laser after that. And then we got an 86 Carroll Shelby Daytona. These were small cars.
Obscure little cars.
But this thing was a going machine, turbo and everything.
Yeah.
Then when we got to college, we decided, well, I needed my own car.
Sure. Okay.
So I went and got myself an 82 Buick Park Avenue Coupe.
Oh, whoa.
Big cruiser, teal metallic.
Hello,
the white
ladies.
Quarter, had the white quarter top on it. Just a sharp car.
It's a chick magnet is what it was.
Yeah. I had one of these noisemakers, back in the 80s, you get these noisemakers. They made machine gun sounds. They made all sirens and stuff. So I had one of those in there.
Yeah.
Had my big bag cell phone next to me, that's the bag in it, and you got your big antenna out on the
big antenna out on the
roof out there,
Can imagine it rolling up to
reception.
Imagine it rolling up. Great. Can you imagine this car rolling up to a frat party at Friday night at like 9:30, and everybody just stopping and looking at what's rolling in?
I'm just picturing the horn. The only thing I can hear is
exactly.
And then after that. I like the big coupes, and I went to an Olds 88.
Okay.
Two-door coupe there.
Nice,
Just nice riding cars, big cars.
Yeah. Gray, your early memory of a car. What's your first car memory?
My first car technically was a car that I only ever got to drive once. We drove it from its previous owner to a local mechanic here near in Fifield, and we just needed to double check that it was in sound shape because it had been sitting for a while. And I think a lot of people probably have a memory like this, but it was this beautiful line that my dad said. He said, "I'm going to drive in front of you. If the brakes go, at least it's me you're going to hit." That was the idea. And of course, depending on who asks me, I can't confirm or deny whether that conversation actually happened. But it turned out actually that car was not safe to drive. The frame had rusted too much while it was sitting. And I actually wound up in an 88 Monte Carlo luxury sport.
Ooh,
that nice
my,
car.
My
nice.
Dad chose for me from the used lot at... Wheelway.
Okay.
And this was in about 2010, 2011.
The old gray mare lot over there.
Yeah.
I think I know who to blame.
Yeah.
But, Dad, if you're listening, thank you. You chose that car to keep me alive through my first winter on the road. It did that. And then I ended up in a Pontiac Sunfire after that. And that thing saw me through first year of college. I had that Sunfire for a long time.
Yeah.
And now I've got my Subaru. And there was a Chevy Aveo in there that I don't like to think about. But it's found a better home. So that's actually my whole list. That's it right there. Four cars, I think.
Yeah, I started out with a Volare. I tried to wrap it around a power pole on a back road, but the Lord didn't. He said it wasn't my time to leave, and we missed it by about 5 feet, and my best friend landed on my lap. We ended up on two wheels. But the car survived. The windows rolled up kind of wonky after that because the whole car just kind of got shifted. But the Volare was the first. But the most memorable car for me as a youngster was her 66 Chevrolet pickup with the big long shifter, you know, in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
And that thing went through four different colors and three accidents. And my brother and dad just kept rebuilding the engine. And that baby went in and out of the ditch more than any car should ever go, but it was almost like destructible. Had the bench seat in the front, that was it. But that's where I learned the stick shift. And with that stick shift mention, is driving a stick shift becoming a lost art now?
Because, well, you know, there are very, I don't think there's hardly any vehicles now you can get with a manual transmission.
Right.
When I was in the car business, there was maybe like one or two.
Yeah.
It's almost viewed as a specialty.
And so
now
it's almost kind of, you get into your high sports cars like your Corvettes, and, you know, they got the 8-speed, 9-speed manuals in them and stuff like that.
Right.
But just for your run-of-the-mill vehicles like your, standard sedan and stuff, a Malibu or a Taurus or anything like that, I mean, those are long gone. So if you want, most of your stick shifts are in your performance cars now, your Corvettes, your Camaros. Your Mustangs.
I drove a lot from that pickup truck to Gray was mentioning the Pacer the other day, and I mentioned I had an AMC Pacer with three on the tree. That thing took off pretty good off the line with just a three-speed.
Yeah.
That was got off pretty good. Had a brand new 89 Ford Escort GT. That again, that was a stick shift, and that thing that was a lot of fun. I burnt like three clutches on that thing in the 200,000 miles I drove on that. But I think driving, I understand why the stick shifts are going away. I understand because it's just driving it is kind of a pain. It's become more of a novelty and a sports lovers kind of car lovers kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you got to replace the clutch too, right? Because the clutch is going to go out, especially if you're
riding. Don't know what you're doing, yeah.
If you don't know what you're doing. But it's an art.
Shifting and not putting the clutch in. Yeah,
I remember the first time I drove that 66 Chevy pickup and I had a stop sign on a hill. I'm just like, ooh, I got to find a happy spot on this clutch here where it's half out and you're kind of
because accelerator down a little bit.
Yeah, because if you just step on the brake, well, when you got to go, you're going to go backwards.
Yep. Yeah.
And if there's someone right behind you, that's not going to be good.
Yep.
I remember there's a certain amount, at least that was the rumor. I don't know. Somebody who's taken the test could confirm that you can only roll back a certain amount at a stop sign if you're on a hill in order to pass your driver's test in a manual. That's supposedly there's a fixed number, like you can only go a foot or two back before you auto fail.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, that's fair because there is going to be a car right behind you. But I thought, holy cow, I'm so glad I had a manual or an automatic vehicle available. I'm sorry, I am that guy. I have driven a stick. I can, if my life depended on it, I'd get to wherever I needed to go, but I would roll two or three feet back at a stop sign on a hill.
It's been a lot of years since I've driven a stick. Are any of your cars you have still a stick?
My brother's the Daytona that we had together. He's still got the 86 Daytona. That is a that is a stick shift.
Still a stick shift, huh?
Yep.
Nice. Well, I've got the whole. Let me just speed read the list of vehicles that I had from my history, starting with that 1936 Ford 8N tractor that I told Ron that I learned to drive on. And then you got the Volare, the 66 Chevy pickup, the VW Bug, a red one and a green one were both in our yard at the same time at one point.
Christmas Beetles.
The red one my brother bought. The green one was from my grandma who passed away. 66 Chevy Ambassador, I was a Rambler ambassador, I think is what they called it. A yellow Comet that the gas gauge didn't work on. I ran out of gas at least once. 69 Chevy Bonneville. Chevrolet Bonneville. Most of these were my brother's cars. I was the youngest of four boys, so my brothers had cars, and I would convince them, hey, I got to go to work. Whose car can I take? And they would let me take one. The Chevy Chevette, my best friend had a Chevy Chevette, a brown one. We almost died in that several times. Again, the Lord didn't want me to leave the planet. 76 Ford Torino, 74 Mustang. Or Mustang. I called it the Mustang, the AMC Pacer, aforementioned. Chevrolet Celebrity, 1989 Ford Escort GT, my first brand new car ever. 1990 Jeep my ex-wife had. That was a fun car. That was a fun vehicle to drive, speaking of shifting. Several minivans that I've driven from my parents to ours. Ford Tempo was my wife's car. I drove that. 2002 Chevy Escalade truck I had here when I lived in Park Falls. Black Escalade, wonderful vehicle. 2004 Prius that I still have, 270,000 miles on it, all the way to my second ever new vehicle that I bought, a 2024 Chevrolet Trax, which I bought earlier this year. I did have a chance to drive a classic Corvette when I was younger from the 60s. Thing rode like a mattress that had been beaten up for 30. It was horrible. It's a horrible ride. Beautiful car. Escapade, Jeep, Astro Vans. I will say this, Gray. I have never ridden a motorcycle at full speed or driven a motorcycle at full speed and don't have a desire to be honest with you. For some reason in my persona, riding a motorcycle at that speed does nothing for me, and it kind of scares me a little bit. I understand the freedom of riding a motorcycle. I understand people love it. That's fine. I have never ridden or driven a motorcycle at full, like, highway speed in my life.
The same is true for me, though I think I'm the next half step up in that I actually see the appeal. I think if I did it, I would enjoy it quite a bit, but it would take a major leap of faith, or I'd need a kind of beverage that I don't enjoy anymore these days in order to kind of push me that direction. But that said, I know a lot of people who love motorcycles, and I've heard people talk about it. I've watched Sons of Anarchy. It looks like a really relaxed and enjoyable. I heard someone describe it that like every 50 feet, the temperature can change if you're going up a hill. Sure. And there's things that you just don't experience when you're in a car, and smells and things like that. And that sounds excellent. And I don't trust myself nearly enough.
Yeah, I'll thank my mom. I remember my mom. Four boys, 6 years apart, and she just, her rule was no motorcycles. And I understand it. You're a mom with four boys, and you're seeing that the trouble that could come from that safety-wise. My dad bought a Kawasaki motorcycle when I was in high school. My mom did not approve of that at all. It lasted 1 year. My mom went for a ride on it with my dad, and then he sold it like a year later. That was kind of a midlife crisis thing, I think, for my dad. I don't have anything against motorcycles. It's just never been me and never been a part of my life. And I did have an Articat 60 horsepower, a little fat tire, I don't even want to call it a motorcycle, scooter, or whatever they called it back, mini bike they called it back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was in the 70s. My dad got it for my three brothers and I, and we beat the living snot out of that thing, jumping off of wherever we could. That thing lasted maybe 2 years.
It probably returned the favor, though, beat you back up in return.
Oh, and if you had your leg too close to the motor where you pull started on the bottom, that would burn you and leave a scar for the rest of your life. It was a safety... It was 60 horsepowers of just pure safety hell is what it was.
Oh, yeah, screaming metal death trap is the phrase that comes to mind.
But it was so much fun. It didn't go over 10 miles an hour. Remember the first time I took it up the driveway? Oh, freedom.
Yet here you sit with all limbs and digits intact.
All right, so we have done it. We have talked cars. If you want to share your first car or your car story on our 98Q Country Facebook page, there's a post I put up there yesterday. Go ahead and share that. And Gray, you're doing some of this during your shift, having a little fun interacting with our listeners about various topics, and we encourage people to check out our 98Q Country Facebook page. It's just a little distraction, a little fun during the workday, right?
Yeah, I've tied mine into the look I take every day at this day in history. I found that there's usually some kind of prevailing piece of news or something stands out, and it usually leads to, yeah, that's something people can probably relate to. And we've been talking movies and athletes, kind of similar to, we've been talking a lot of favorites, kind of like your car question, but I'm sure it'll evolve and morph into something horrible over time when I run out of ideas.
And Mike McKay does the same thing, and he'll be in next. Gray's in this afternoon, 2 to 7, right?
You betcha.
All right, Mike McKay is coming in next. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another edition of Reality Radio. McKay standing by.
98Q Country.
Girl, our mama's best friends, and so we, the whole town's rooting for us like the home team. Most likely to settle down, plant a few roots real deep and let them grow. But we can't stop this real world from spinning us. Your bright lights, God, I don't blame you for picking up your big dream bags. Are all packed up and ready to go. But I just need you to know that I love you more than a California sunset, more than a beer when you ain't 21. On a hill, girl, not in them. So hang on to these words, to them avenues to help you forget them. Cause I love you more than a California sunset. I love you more than a $20 sundress. Hate that loaded down car you got your keys in, girl, but I hate even more that you're leaving. Cause I love you more than a phantom when the bass hits a hook, when the guy gets a girl at the end of the book. But that
like a river, ever changing as it flows, and the dreamer's just a vessel that must follow where it goes, trying to learn from what's behind you, And never knowing what's in store makes each day a constant battle just to stay between the shores. And I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. Like a bird upon the wind, these waters are my sky. I'll never reach my destination if I never try. So I will sail my vessel till the river runs dry. Too many times we stand aside and let the water slip away. What we put off till tomorrow has now become today. So don't you sit upon the shoreline and say you're satisfied. Choose to chance the right.